Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
They're set. Away they go.
Now, on TAS Racing Talk, time to talk harness racing.
Harford trainer Tim Main joins us now after a great weekend for the family. How are you, Tim?
Yeah, good, thanks, Shane.
Now, it's been a while since I imagine the family's picked up four winners. Your daughter, Melissa, training a couple, Faithful Gabby and also Nancy Thrill. And you delivered the goods with the horse named that, Deliver the Goods, and with Last Guy Standing. So a tremendous weekend for you all.
Yeah, we've never had any better than that. No, very, very good weekend for the family.
Well, let's have a look at Last Guy Standing for a start. Now, it ran fifth in the Dandy Patch last season. You put it out for a spell. You must have thought that you had something on your hands at that point to give it that break.
Yeah, Shane, he ran a very nice race in the Dandy Patch as a two-year-old and actually took ground off the leaders. He come from last, he drew by the 13 and was quite happy with the way he went. So we give him a bit of a break, and he had a few issues, a bad foot abscess and a couple other things, and finally got him back to races, had three or four starts, and produced his best on Sunday night.
Now, he didn't get away to a good start, drawn out wide on the track, and you had to go back in the field looking for some cover.
Yeah, he's still very green at the minute, like he hasn't had very many starts, and being on the outside of the front, he just balked at the mobile. His previous starts, he'd been in between a couple and had no trouble, but he balked the mobile and just didn't want to chase it for some reason.
Now, you got stuck wide, you got stranded out there for a good deal of the journey, so to push on at the end was an outstanding performance to win the race.
The week before he ran a nice race in a mile, but he was doing his best work at the finish. So the way we train on our little track, it's a little bit up and downhill, and it seems to give them a bit of stamina. Most of our horses do finish up okay if they've got the ability. So I thought he would probably stay a bit better than he could sprint. So that's why we chose to draw him that way.
Yeah, well, he certainly found something at the finish on the home corner when he had the audacity to be still coming at them out three wide on the track. I thought, well, he'll get to the 200-metre mark and then start to feel the pinch after the run he'd had. But he just kept powering to the post. So that must really give you some encouragement going forward.
Well, it does, Shane, yeah. He sticks very well, as we've seen. So we just need to get a bit more speed into his legs. And, yeah, I think he can be competitive in the three-year-old races later on in the year.
Now, you took over the training of Deliver the Goods after his regular trainer, Rod Burgess, had some back issues and some health problems. But Deliver the Goods has really continued to excel during this season of racing.
That's right. A good friend of ours, Rod, had a very bad back issue, and Melissa and I both helped him out with some horses, and he's just come to hand nice. We've had to train him a little bit different on our track, and he seems to be thriving on that. And with the young driver Brady Woods claiming on him, he's done a very good job, and he seems to go nice for him.
Yeah, well, really hit the line strongly last week. How many horses do you have in training at the moment?
Well, just at the minute we only have three, And by now, probably only two, because I've asked Melissa, the daughter, to take Last Guy Standing over for a while. I've just completed a new 800-metre training track, which hopefully he'll be able to do a bit more faster work on and get a bit more speed into his legs. So I think it's back to two today.
Okay, so your other daughter, Lisa, she was the one who's done a lot of the work with Last Guy Standing. She's also the owner of the horse.
Yeah, that's Melissa's sister. Yes, we... she bred the horse. She picked out the stallion, and with a bit of guidance from her mother, picked the stallion, bred the horse, and has done nearly all the work with him. Does all the jog work. I just do the hobble work at home with him, and she does everything else. She's in the feed, and it was a big thrill for Lisa.
Now, you mentioned your wife Susan. It was a great thrill for you a couple of years back to win the Granny Smith as a family with T.C. Holly.
Yeah, Shane, that was a very big thrill for the family. That's our biggest win we've ever had, and what made that even better. We bought the mother of Tisu Holly and Holly as a foal off the late Lee Plunkett's estate, and Lee was a very good friend of mine, so that was a good thrill to have that memory. And Melissa actually trained it for her mother, so it was a very good family affair, that one.
Well, a great result all around. And you mentioned the 800-metre track that Melissa and partner Gareth Rattray have put in now. And they were rewarded as well over the weekend with victories to Nance's Thrill and the very impressive Faithful Gabby.
Yes. Starting to tick up a little few winners off the place. They've been up there for a bit over 12 months now, and they was just working all their horses in the grass paddock and saved up enough money to put the track in, and that's just been finished a bit over a week, a fortnight now, and that's going to help a lot because they can do all their fast work, don't have to leave the place, and they can really stretch out and work two or three horses at full tilt, so that's going to help them a lot in the future.
And Faithful Gabby looks to have a big future ahead.
They like wrapping horses up, Shane. She's always been a bit of a anointer, cutting the leg or something of that nature. I really like her personally. I think she's a nice filly. Just hopefully they don't put the mockers on her. Look, she does go nice.
Well, she won the Princess of Pace at the weekend, and she ran that sensational race recently at Devonport, so it looks as if she's heading in the right direction. Now, Tess and Zoe, speaking of heading in the right direction, off to Melbourne for a big race at Melton on Friday.
Yes, she's in Friday night at Melbourne. She went over on the Spirit this week, last night actually. The owners found a nice race, they think. It's an MO for Vic Bred mares drawn first, and Tristan Zoe's a Vic Bred, and that's a heat into a final, so hopefully that she can perform well and do a crowd over there.
And Gareth taking the drive?
Yes. He's got a very good boss at where he works, and he's allowed him to knock off early on Friday to fly to Melbourne and drive, he is.
I thought Melissa was his boss.
She only thinks she is.
Is that the way it works? Right. We won't tell her that. We'll let her think that that's going to continue. We'll try and keep this program away from her ears during the week. Now, you've also had some thought that whilst you've been involved in the industry for quite some time, you might be taking a step back and allowing Melissa and Gareth to really take control of your horses.
Well, that's what I hope to do. I've spoke to them about it, and hopefully we can get their place set up a little bit better with some... a few more stables and yards and let them take over. We've got a couple of young ones. I'd like to probably still do a little bit of groundwork with them, but my employment is keeping me away from home more and more every day. So, time I go to work and get home, it's about 11 hours away. So I'd like to have a bit of a break. We haven't had a break for about 5 or 6 years from the horse, so I'd like to do that.
All right, Tim, well, again, congratulations on what's been a great weekend for the family, and long may it continue.
Yeah, that'd be great, Shane. I appreciate the call.
Live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk.
An outstanding night of harness racing in Hobart last Sunday. To have a look at the meeting, it's a very good evening to Jamie Cockshutt. How are you, Jamie?
Yeah, not too bad, Shane. How about yourself, mate?
Yeah, great, thanks. Well, it was an outstanding night, wasn't it? And the brilliant Jerry's Jet really had to pull out all stops to win the sweepstakes for the Colts and Geldings.
He sure did, Shane. Nothing went his way. Everything went against him, and he came 5 and 6 wide in the last 400 and got up on the line very narrowly from the very unlucky Boace and Hagen, who honestly was pretty stiff not to win the race. He lost 20 metres after the start by galloping, then copped a bit of interference up the straight, which probably cost him the race, but you got to give all honours to Jerry's Jet as well, because nothing went his way, mate.
Now, it was equal dead heaters there for a second, along with Mr. Lennox, but protest was upheld. And as you say, Jerry's Jet just picked them both up in the very last stride. So it was Jerry's Jet, Bahus and Hagen and Mr. Lennox in that order in the sweepstakes. And it was the Rattray stable to the four in the fillies division.
Yeah, well, they had three runners, Shane, all very good chances. But Joker's Wild card went around as an odds-on favourite after drawing the pole. She led up with her main danger, Fuaza, on the back, which was the eventual winner. Fuaza got out at the top of the straight and sprinted very quickly and passed him and won like a very nice horse in the future. But Grace Campbell was a very good run to run 30 in that race. She was 3 wide for the last lap and battled away very strongly.
Now, we've just spoken to Tim Main about Faithful Gabby's effort in the last, in the Princess of Pace. It was a pretty impressive performance, even though it was only a small field.
Oh, very impressive. She's always shown a lot of ability, and her to sit parked. It was a two-horse race between Faithful Gabby and this, what I like about you, but Faithful Gabby to sit parked and just bore the pressure on the 400, and she just strolled away and won very easily, mate. I think she's got the bandbox out of Mercy, the three-year-old size for the fillies coming up.
It's what I like about you for Christian Salter, second in that race, but Christian was able to win the Prince of Pace with the impressive Vanderbilt.
Yeah, he had a good run, Vanderbilt. He sat him behind the leader, Estevao, and just peeled off the top of the straight and grounding down. And over the last 50, got up for a very good win. Got a bright future, Vanderbilt, and he's heading towards the Globe Derby for the three-year-old Cousin Girding Sire Stakes in the coming weeks.
And Nola Mayhem, a winner of the Granny Smith. She was far too good for them in the race over the 2090.
Yeah, it turned out a two-horse race. They just walked up around and battled away. Nola Mayhem and Rykov Lees drew away for a good battle. The classy Nola Mayhem just getting Rykov Lees right on the line for a good win.
And the Carl Saunders Memorial Brighton Cup went to the short-priced favourite, Pachacuti.
Yeah, very impressive, Pachacuti. It's his first go at free-for-all in Tasmania, but yeah, very impressive. And he's going to take a lot of beating in any race he competes in Tasmania, and I've just been told that he's heading towards the Breeders' Crown for the four-year-old Carlton Geldings in Melbourne in the coming months, and he'll acquit himself very well. As we all know, he went second in the three-year-old version last year behind Gun New Zealand's three-year-old bit of a legend, but I'm sure he's improved and he'll acquit himself well this series.
Well, let's hope he can go one better this time around. And we've got another big card coming up in Hobart on Sunday night. We need you to steer our listeners on to a winner or two. So let's have a look at your selection, starting off in race number one.
Yeah, race one looks a two-horse race between numbers one and four. Franco Sheffield resumed last week with a solid second. He sat park and batted away strongly for second. He was a lot fitter for this run, and he looks the one to beat from Angela Marco, who's resuming from a letter. She has a bit of ability. She draws the lead. So I think either one or four will win the race from Miss Guinevere to run third with number six, seven, eight to fill out four spot.
So we're looking to work around numbers one and four in the first. The second is the C2 to C4. Better move. Just needs an ounce of luck to be in the finish.
He sure does, Shane. He's well placed in this race. It's just a draw, barrier eight. So I reckon they'll try and get off early, just hang back a bit and try and get off early and try and move around to find the breeze. If he finds the breeze, he's going to take a lot of beating. Another Jasper finally draws a barrier. He's racing well without winning, but if he lobs on top, he's going to take a lot of running down. Lick Your Lips was disappointing last week. He should have been a lot better for this week's run, and with any luck at all, he's going to be a huge danger from barrier 11. Go Like a Sar Blombo. Gosh, he's a rebel. Numbers 7 and 9 are each way chances and can fill the minor first four placings.
Race number 3 on the card. It's the CO to C1 division. Rusty Red Comet's been very consistent without winning out of turn.
He resumed last week in the Prince of Paces. We just talked about Vanderbilt. He was in need of the run. He got beat pretty easily by them too, but drawn two tonight. He should be able to find the lead, and it's going to come down to a two-horse war between Rusty Red Comet and It's What I Like About You. But from the barrier, Rusty Red Comet looks a way to go from It's What I Like About You, and clear third back is Skymaker, who hit the line strongly last Sunday, not coming from a long way back.
Now, race number four on the card, it's the first heat of the Botra Claiming Novice Drivers Series.
Yeah, this is a very tough race. Just don't know where to go, but we're just leaning towards Tinker's Taxi each way. This race looks a lot easier on than its recent outings. Just get a card in the race. It's going to be good each way odds. Then if he's close enough at the 400, he might be able to outplug him on the way of the line. An inch of his life. It's been a little bit disappointing this time in, but comes up with the pole. He should be able to do enough to hold the lead and will give plenty of cheek. With Western Caravan following him through, which is going to get every chance from behind the leader. There's a good rough in the race called Better Bolt. We'll appreciate the drop back to this class, and just with any luck at all, he could hit the line strongly at very big odds. So we'll go 10 from 1 and 8 with 7 to run 4.
Now, race number 5 on the card, Zeke Slater's got a strong hand here. He's got two runners and they both look leading chances.
Yeah, the interesting runners are E-Baby. He's first up from Victoria, and as we know, Zeke's got a good record with paces first up from the mainland when they come to Tassie. So it's a huge query, and Joey Doback has just been transferred into the stable, so he's got to be given plenty of respect as well. Casanova Cullen's drawn poles. On the pole, been racing very well of late, so he's going to get every chance on the pole, but I'm happy to go with just on eBay on top for Zeke from numbers Casanova, numbers 1 and 7, Casanova Collin, Dowie Doback, and Artistic Place and Hop Romac can run a place at big odds, numbers 6 and 8.
The Plunkett Family Ascot Gold Cup is race number 6. Can Pachacuti go back to back?
Query is a stand start. If he steps safely, I think he's just about a good thing, but it is a query first up because there's some very nice horses in this race that from that does begin well from the tapes. Aspris is the key. She was very good in the recent Easter Cup series. She won a heat leading all the way and spun it home very quick last quarter in 27 and won a heat well. And she was a bit stiff in that final, actually. She never got a crack at them down the straight and she ran fourth. So she's going to be the query. She will ping away. So she looks early leader, but if Patsy Curdy can wrestle the lead off or be close enough, it's going to come down to a great battle between numbers one and two. But then you've got the proven mare later on who returns from Victoria from the Queen of the Pacific, where she had no luck at all for running six. And despite the 30-metre back bar, she, with the right run, she can get into it, as can our chain of command off the 30 metres. Call the marshal. Just don't know where he's at the moment. Well, going back a month ago, he'd be clear favourite for this race, but the key is to him, if he was able to ping away and find the lead, he will be able to give a bit of cheek. And Bigger and Better Max is racing well as also, so he can't be left out of the equation. But I'm happy to go Patrick Curdy on top number two for numbers one, Ask Bliss, and three, Call the Marshal, with six out chain of command and seven later on to run fourth.
Yeah, in race number seven, the highly talented Milo Lynn's back in action.
Yeah, well, Milo Lynn looks one of the better bets of the night. You know, he should be able to dictate the race. Probably have to sit park outside of Wyckoff Lees, who looks the natural leader. But Milo Lynn will prove too tough over the last 200 metres and be too strong for Wyckoff Lees number two. The Adriatic drops back from Free For All Company last couple of starts, so it has to be given an each-way chance to the right runner. Talk about Dexter and I Pity the Fool, the next best numbers five and seven.
And in the last, the Botra Novice Drivers Heat number two, Christian Salter's team in good form with It's What I Like About You and Vanderveld. He's got the pole marker Island Disco.
Yeah, she resumed a couple of weeks ago at Launceston with a very good second. So draws ideally. She's got gate speed. She should lead. And to be honest, she looks one of the better bets of the night. Whatever beats will win the race. Scruffy Jake is racing consistently. Gets a good run through from the nine, so he's got to be an each-way chance. And the Family Guy, he's pretty one pace, but if he was able to find the breeze, he'll battle on strongly and, you know, could win without surprising. And then you've got Major Landscape and Lucky Dave, numbers two and eight, just fight out third and fourth.
Now, what about some best races for us to invest our money in coming up for Sunday night?
Yeah, well, there's three races I really like, Shane. Race one, I really like numbers one and four. So if you win a trifecta, say one and four to win, one and four for second, with 6, 7, 8, 9 and 11 for 30. If you pay that for $30, you get 300%. And just to save, if we went 1 and 4 for second, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11, oh, 1 and 4 for first, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 for second, 1 and 4 for third. If you just had that for $20, that'd get us 200%, just as a saver. And you'd also play a first four in that race with 1 and 4 to win, 1 and 4 for second, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 for third and fourth. A $40 flex, he'll give you 100% of the dividend. And we'll go the other way as well. 1 and 4 to win. 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 for second. 1 and 4 for third. 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 for fourth. $40 flex, he gives you 100% of the dividend.
Okay, that's race number one. What about race number three?
Well, race number three, I think there's only three chances. Numbers two, six, and seven. So if you just box them three up in a trifecta for $30, it'll give you 500%. And just have another trifecta on as well, just with 2 and 6 to win from 2, 6, and 7 for $20 flexi, which will give you 500%. But they look clear. Top three pick in race 3, 2, 6, and 7.
And in race number seven, Milo Lynn's the one?
Yeah, Milo Lynn's the one. So we'll base our bets around Milo Lynn and Wyckoff Lees here. We'll go with trifecta. Milo Lynn number six to beat two Wyckoff Lees with a field for third. If you have that for $30, that'll give you 500% of the dividend. And we'll just save it and we'll just go to the six to win from the field for second and two for third for 400%, which will cost us $24. We could also have a first four with Milo Lynn to beat Wyckoff Lees with the field for third and fourth. $30 give you 100% of the dividend, and we'll go six to win, field for second, two for third, field for fourth for $30, which will also give you 100% of the dividend. Also got a quadrilla pick out for the night too, Shane. The first leg's very open, so we'll go 1, 2, 4, 6, 7, 8 into two only Patsy Curdy, the six only Milo Lynn, into the last leg 1, 2, 5, 8, and 9. $30 flexi gives 100% of the dividend. And we'll also have a saver, just in case. We'll just go first leg 1, 2, 4, 6, 7, 8. Into the second leg, we'll go 1, 3, 5, 6, and 7. Third leg, 6 Milo Lynn. Into the last leg, 1, 2, 5, 8, 9. A $45 flexi will give us 30% of the dividend. Also got a quadrilla pick out of Devonport, mate. We'll go numbers first leg 1, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9. Second leg 1 only. Third leg 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. The last leg 1. $35 flex, you'll give you 100% of the dividend. And we'll also have another one with first leg 1, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9. Second leg 1 only. Third leg 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. Last leg 2 and 6. The $35 flex, will give you 50% of the dividend.
Okay, Jamie, thanks for that in-depth look at the weekend's racing and harness racing around the state. And for all our listeners, they can go to the TAS Racing website and read all your form analysis for the weekend. Thanks again for your efforts this week.
No worries, mate. Thanks very much.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.